love you for it.
We know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, profitable for reproof, profitable for correction, and profitable for instruction in righteousness. Righteousness means, in the Greek, right standing with God, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul received a message from God. And again, somebody doubted God, which was Ananias. Ananias said, "Lord, you don't want to pick this guy to preach or to teach or anything like that. He's a murderer, killer of Christians. You heard me say that before." But Ananias was a believer also. And what was the Lord's answer? I mentioned a while ago that he was a chosen vessel. Well, we are a chosen vessel now, because we are to imitate Paul, mimetos, mimic him. Every time that we can, at every side in the Scripture. Because all Scripture is profitable. We received, through Paul, by God, the last message from heaven. And it's called the post-act revelation. We're not going to hear any more to write. There's no more Scripture to write. All Scripture that has been written has been finalized with Paul's message. It's called the post-tax revelation. Now, the mystery belongs to the post-tax revelation. The all things, the tapanta, belongs to the post-tax revelation. Your glory belongs to the post-tax revelation. And we ought to think on the post-tax revelation along those lines and not forget it. Because that's where you have your strength. If you cut that off, you're cutting your own legs off. You don't want to do that. You have an eternal new man. And that new man is to receive the new message. It's called the new message in here. It's called the message of God. It's got many names. It's got the deposit. You've heard that many times. Although it's not written in the King James. No deposit there. No deposit there. That came from another teaching somewhere. It's not a bad teaching, because it's still adequate. But more than that, it's called, and I'll get to that too, where it's called, because I got various scriptures here of what the post-tax revelation is called. God created it. He created it by the will of the Father. It was His will. He created by the work of the Son and the witness of the Holy Spirit. But we have a war going on. And that war is against Satan. He is a spirit being. And he is a very powerful being. He can even lie to you in your sleep. Yes. He picks on you. He picks on you because you know Jesus Christ. He picks on you because you're a new creation. He picks on you because you are the church. How many times have you witnessed to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ And that person has trouble the very next 5 minutes. Trips, breaks his leg or something. You witness to a loved one. He turns against you. How many times has that happened? You have a job and you witness to somebody at the job. You're fired. How many times has that happened? How many times has somebody witnessed somebody about the loving Jesus Christ and he gets killed? Armies went after Paul for years and years and years. They didn't get him. Why? Because he was protected by the Holy Spirit. And he's the one protecting you. Right now. This minute, tonight, you might have a wonderful, pleasant, gracious dream. Oh, praise God. And you get up in the morning and you say, oh man, what a dream. I'm going to get up there and I'm going to preach to everybody. I'm going to tell about Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm going to do in the morning. And tomorrow morning, the day after that. I'll never, never stop talking to people about my Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Because as the church, you are a slave of Jesus Christ. Many of us want to be masters, or we're proud, we want to be a minister. You have a ministry, but you're not a minister. You're a slave of Jesus Christ. I don't care what anybody says. Read the beginning, the first few lines of Philippians 1:1. And that's post-tax revelation. And it says here, Paul and Timothy, slaves of Jesus Christ. That's inspired by the Holy Ghost. That's inspired by the Holy Spirit. You can, as an imitator of Paul, I can say, Ronnie.
Mike.
Eddie. Marty. Ronnie. Artis. Jack. Slaves of Jesus Christ. What a title. What an honor given to you by Jesus Christ. You have that title. It's a beautiful, wonderful, wonderful title. And it's a lasting one. And that slave is doing work for Jesus Christ. You may suffer tomorrow. You may suffer for your children. You may suffer for your wife. You may suffer, but you're going to suffer. Yes, you are. You're going to suffer with terrible thoughts. Maybe terrible dreams. But you call on the Master. In this post-tax revelation, and you can say and pray like Paul. And I'm going to read that prayer to you in just a minute. Paul's prayer at the end of chapter 3. I'll read it now. 3:14. You can follow along with me. I've got the lexical. You may have the King James or any other translation. But you know it's fitting. And Paul, when he prayed a prayer that he meant, and he meant this one. And Paul meant all of his prayer. But when he started his prayer, and it was a serious prayer, he would start it with, for this cause. You have to look back and say, for what cause? Well, in this prayer, I'm just going to finish it for you. For this cause, I bend the knees of me to the Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ. From whom every family of heavens and on earth is named, that he may grant you, according to the wealth of the glory of him, to become mightily empowered through the Spirit of him in the inner man, the new man, the church. Okay. For Christ to make his home through faith, and that word in the Greek, faith, is pisteos, comes from the root word pistis, and it means faith. And if you didn't know that before, I know you do. That's what it is in the Greek. So you know a little bit of Greek. Well, la-di-da, we're not here to just learn Greek, because even the devil himself has tried to make fun of Greek. He's even got the whole world. He's a good minister. He's got the whole world saying, oh, it's Greek to me, ha, ha, ha. You know, you've heard that many times. I've said it myself before, before I knew any better than that. Well, if it's Greek to you, praise the Lord. You know what it is? You know what Greek is to me? It's Greek to me. It's Koine Greek to me. And whenever I find out the translation, I'll write it down in English, or Spanish, or Italian. And if I learn any Polish, I'll do it in Polish. I will, as long as it translates from the Koine Greek. Amen, boy. All right. I didn't finish the prayer. Here, Paul's prayer continued. That he may grant you according to the wealth of the glory of him. I mean, he's wealthy too. You may have a bad dream, but you remind the Lord Jesus Christ, and 5 minutes later about the glory. Where's my glory, Lord? Eddie told me that I had glory coming. All right, you want glory now? I'll give you some glory now. I can pass it on to you. You have love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. You have that. That's yours. You have truth. You have the way to heavenly places, the only way, Jesus Christ. He's going to flash you out of here, called the Epiphania. And the Epiphania means a shining forth. We're not waiting for any rapture. We're not waiting for Jesus to come down. Hey, you're a new man, and you're going to be manifest with him in glory. That's what the Word of God says. And if anybody want to refute that, you're cutting off your old legs. Yeah, you don't want to do that. No, glory with your friends and let me tell you something. You seen over here to love your neighbor? You're going to have to look this one up. You know who your neighbor is? It's not your neighbor in the back door or across the street or your neighbor at the pool hall or your neighbor at some bar or bowling alley. Your neighbor, that's not your neighbor. Love your neighbor or your next door neighbor at home wherever you live. No, that's not your neighbor. I'm going to tell you who your neighbor is. It's the brethren.
Yes.
Of the church.
Yes.
That's my neighbor. And I love my neighbor. I love my neighbor because we think alike. We think according to the way the Lord Jesus Christ thinks. In this dispensation called the post-tax revelation. Mysterion truth. In the mysteries that the Lord gave to Paul, beginning with Ephesians chapter 1, by the will of God, I'll read that to you. But let me finish this, the prayer of Paul here. Paul prayed this in a few verses because it was an awesome thing to pray for. He says, for this cause, and I'm going to go back for the cause in a minute. For Christ to make his home through faith in the hearts of you in love, having been rooted and having been grounded, that you might be fully strong enough to grasp together with all the saints, with the church, what is the breadth and length and height and depth of his love. You stop to think. Length, breadth, depth, and height of his love. That's the kind of love that you had to contend with. And you have it to just drink of it, like Mike would say in a volleyball, in your mind. Drink of that love. Drink of that love. Do the backstroke in that love. Swim in it. Play tennis with. Oh, play golf in that love. You could do anything you want to in that love. Preach the gospel of good news. Preach the post-act revelation in his love. That's what Paul did. That's what Epaphras did. That's what Onesimus did. That's what Syntychus did. Syntyche, that's Tychicus did. All that, what a crew. What a crew. That crew's still alive. It's called Artis, Ronnie. I can't remember names that well. My name's Eddie. What'd you say your name was? Dr. Mike. All you guys. Saints of God. The church. Peter Redden. All you ladies. All you beautiful wives. Loving your husbands. Husbands loving your wives. That's the most beautiful thing anybody could hear. God telling you to love your wife. That's beautiful. And you guys, your wife is loving you, respecting you. Wives, respect your husband. And I'll tell you what, when God says that and your wife does respect you, you can feel like the governor, the president of the United States, because you are sitting tall on saddle. Better than that, you are sitting in the very thoughts of the Master Jesus Christ when your wife respects you and when you love your wife. She feels wonderful. I know. Sometimes I love her. Don't I, honey? Yeah, I do. I'm supposed to love you 100% of the time. I really do. You may not believe that, but I do. I do. I love you, honey. Yeah, the new man does. He's perfect. The old man's a... You could throw him back in the mud where he belongs. But the new man, boy, he belongs to the Lord. He better not touch him. He belongs to God. The new man. Amen, boy. Hey, did we finish that prayer? No. We did not. Okay, that you may be fully empowered to grasp together in all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth of his love. And to know the love of Christ, surpassing knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. Now, to the ones being able beyond all things to do superabundantly above the things which we ask or even think, according to the power working in us. What a promise. And that's Paul confirming. Remember the prayer starts, for this cause, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all the generations of the age of the ages, to the Ioni of Ton Ionon. It's right here. Ionas Ton
Ayonon.
That's generations of the age. I mean, from
no.
Without your relationship with Him lasting forever, never broken, and learning something every single moment of that age. There's things we don't even know. I mean, it's supreme redemptive revelation. That's what Mysterion Truth is. Supreme redemptive revelation. That's what it is. We're in that era right now. I'm gonna read to you, and I know you've read it a million times, maybe more, or maybe not that many. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1. You can read Ephesians chapter 1 through 13, or all of chapter 1, and you have received a summary, just the summary, of the rest of the post-Acts revelation. It starts with Apollos. I'm going to just read 13 chapter. Apollos, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, that's telematos in the Greek, through the will of God, to the saints being in Ephesus and believers in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some glory right there. Blessed be, worthy to be praised is He. Blessed be, or worthy to be praised, be the God and Father, Jesus Christ of us, the one having blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ, inasmuch as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, for us to be holy and blameless, enopion, in the sight of Him. Enopion means, it's a Greek, in the sight of Him, or in His sight. He's always with you. He sees you all the time. And you see Him. I know you do. Right in your heart. Having predestined us, not destinated. Many people, and it's written in many translations as predestinated. There's no predestinated here. Predestination is belongs to the movie stars. We're not movie stars. But predestined is foreordained. You can use the word foreordained. Us to sonship. And sonship is we of the sion, which means a son placed by adoption. That's what it means. And adoption is better than a pure born son. And this comes from a definition in the Old Testament. And that's why it's here, because it's a son placing through Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of the will of Him. I'm just going to go to verse 13. Good pleasure. To the praise of the glory of the grace of Him by whom He highly favored us in the one having been loved. Highly favored us in Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through the blood of Him, the forgiveness of sins, sin cancellation of all trespasses, offenses against both God and man, according to the wealth of the grace of Him. We are objects of His grace. And if you want to mark it in plateaus of richness, grace is tops. Glory is great. Peace is great. Love is great. Of course, God is love. But it's all glory for you, for us, to the praise of the glory of His grace. See?
It's yours.
We can't deny it. We're not going to refuse it. Okay, grace of him, which he made to superabound toward us in all wisdom and understanding, having made known to us the mystery of the will of him, according to the good pleasure of him which he purposed in himself. That's his will. For a stewardship belonging to the fullness of the times, to sum up all things in the heavens and the things on the earth. When Paul mentions up front, a little further, of the mystery which I mentioned to you afore, this is where he mentioned it afore, in Ephesians 1:10. In whom also we were made an inheritance. We are a heritage in this verse. There's also a verse where we inherit the riches. But in this verse, we are the heritage of God. In whom also we are made an inheritance, having been predestined or foreordained according to the purpose or the plan of the one working all things according to the counsel of the will of him. Verse 12, for us to be to the praise of the glory of him. See? Glory, now. Yeah, now. Let's not deny the fact that the glory isn't here. It's available to you. It's available to the church. The fact that we are the church is glory enough. Wow. Woo. The ones having previously hoped in Christ. Verse 13. In whom also you have heard. Here it is, the message of truth, the good news. That's the post-tax revelation gospel of the salvation of you, in whom also having believed, pisteos again, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That word sealed is sphragizo, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and it's called enarabon in the Greek. Enarabon is a pledge that will never be broken. God has yet to break a pledge. He cannot do that. Okay, now with that, I'm going to mention or give you some titles. And if you follow along with me, I'm going to give you some scriptures. Write them down. Ephesians 1:10, the stewardship of the mysterio. That's the post-tax revelation. 1:9, the mystery of his will. Ephesians 1:9. 1:10, it's a stewardship belonging to the fullness of the times, the pleroma. Okay, that's post-tax revelation. The message of truth, that's a post-tax revelation message. The good news of the salvation of you, that's the post-tax revelation message. The gospel. Okay, verse 18, the hope of your calling, his calling. The wealth of the glory of the inheritance of him to the in the Holy of Holies. Ephesians 1:22, the all things in 1:22, that's the all things in the post-tax revelation. Ephesians 3:2, stewardship of the grace of God. Ephesians 3:3, revelation of the mystery. Okay. Verse 4, the insight of me, or the mystery of Christ. That's the post-tax revelation. The promise in Christ Jesus. I don't have it here written, but somebody mentioned it a while ago. This truth. It's called this truth. This truth is the post-tax revelation. Message to Paul to the Gentiles. There's no Jews around here in the post-tax revelation, because there's neither Jew nor Greek in the church. See? That makes it all that much more solid.
There's neither male nor female in the church. We've mentioned that a while ago in the previous talk. But we have a role in flesh to complete. I'm coming to that here. 3:9, the stewardship of the mystery again. 3:11, it's called, this post-tax revelation is called the plan of the ages. 3:11, you read that 3:11 when you get a chance. Or let's read it now, 3:11. I love that plan of the ages. Ephesians 3:11. It's worth reading because it'll bless your heart. 3:11. Sometimes I miss Kathy to give me a hand with this. 3:11. Everybody find it yet? Okay, read it. According? Who said
3:11.
Yeah, 3:11, Ephesians 3:11.
According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
There you are. That's the post-tax revelation message. Thank you, Artis. God bless you. And this one is, it says, according to the plan of the ages which he made in Christ Jesus, the Lord of us. It's a translation, but it's an exact translation. In the Greek, in the text, 3:11, it's a kata prothesin ton aionon, that's ages, ein epoiesen in Christo Jesu to kurio, our Lord, of us. Humon is of us. So the translation that artist just read is perfect because it's contextual. It makes sense as God meant to say. See, in many translations, it says different things and they shift around. Don't ask me why. Probably because of the power of those people who want to translate like that. Or their heart may be right, but we still make mistakes. I mean, being in the flesh. But if you go by the text, you can't go wrong. Ephesians 3:17-19, his love there is the post-tax revelation. Ephesians 3:17-19. I wish we could read them all, but if you write that down, you will get blessed by knowing that this is the post-tax revelation, the subject of that verse. Ephesians 4:1 is the calling. The calling is the post-tax revelation there. 4:3, the unity of the Spirit, the uniting bond of peace. That's post-tax revelation. And there's also glory there. You find glory in all of these. You have glory there. In the post-tax revelation is loaded with glory. And it's ours. It's our glory. That's what the message is all about. We have the unity of the Spirit there. We have the unity of the faith in the following verse. Verse 13. 4:3 is the unity of the Spirit. Unity of the faith is 4:13. And then in Ephesians 4:15-16, we have the unity of the body. Truth and love. That's the post-text revelation. See, you have the unity of the faith, you have the unity of the Spirit, and you have the unity of the body. Now, if you go to those verses there, you'll find out what the unity of the faith is. Unity means united or union. The unity of the faith, it means a oneness. A oneness in the faith. The unity of the Spirit, you know what the unity of the Spirit is? That unity of the Spirit reminds me of one of my favorite fellows in the Lord, a church member. His name was Carl Nave. He gave a beautiful talk on the unity of the Spirit. And it starts at the unity of the Spirit is one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all.
Amen.
Amen. And each one of those will bless your heart. You try to get an analysis of each one of those, unity of the Spirit, and you will grow 10 feet tall. And if you get them in the Greek, you'll go 20 feet tall. And if it's Greek to you, man, you'll love it. Koine Greek, that is. Yeah. What is NK? Is it no koine?
NK?
Yeah.
That's a seed company.
Oh, I thought it was no. Oh, yeah. No knowledge about corn, right?
You'll have to ask.
NK?
NK is a seed company.
Yeah. How did that get in there? I was just thinking of you, Roger, when I saw that. But anyway, back to the uniting power of God. You'll find it in the unity of the faith, the unity of the Spirit, and the unity of the body. Who can explain the unity of the body? I can for you. The unity of the body, you'll find it in the joints and bands. And you've seen them knit together. Together. Now the unity of the body, in one word, sousoma. The soon is Greek for togetherness. Together, all of us in one body, knit together. That's the unity of the body, and you will find it with truth and love in chapter 4, verses 15 through 16. It's so rich to know the meat of the post-tax revelation. And we call it the mystery. But it's more than the mystery. The mystery belongs to the post-tax revelation. See? And the stewardship of the mystery belongs to the fullness of time. See? You get that when you get the genitive case of the Greek, and when you start studying the grammar of the Greek, those things come to you just from studying your lexicon. I've got a copy here. Well, you know what a lexicon is. I think, Roger, you've got one. An Analex? Yeah. I know you have one because we discussed that. All right. And we should discuss with one another. What information do you have regarding the post-tax revelation? That's the message of the day, folks. It's the message of the day. People are missing it. You know, and we're supposed to wangelisastai this message. That's Greek. You don't know what it is. I'm going to tell you what it is. Wangelisastai is to evangelize it. We're doing it. We're doing it in Peltok. We're doing it right now. Yes, we make mistakes. Yeah, so you caught me in a mistake. So what? Great, okay. But I'm going to study about it, and I'm going to give you some problems. No, I'm just kidding. I'm only joking. I love you, brother. Thank you for pointing that out. Yeah. What?
Oh.
All right. Okay, 532. 532 of Ephesians. This needs some attention. 532, folks. This needs some attention, and we're going to give it some attention. It says here in 532, in the King James and in other versions, like let's say the RV, the old RV, Revised Version, and the NASV, the New American Standard Version, it says, this is a great mystery. No. And it's very tricky. Watch this. If you know the Greek, it really means this mystery is great. You see? You're making mystery the subject. But if you say this is a great mystery, you're not giving the mysterion the credit. It's not the subject. You're taking the subject away from the, taking the mystery away as being subject and replacing it to an object of the word, of the verb is, transitive verb. See, and mystery is not an object of a verb. It's the subject of the sentence that God gave us. See, that's how important the Greek is. So if people will say, well, why must I learn Greek? Well, that's one of the reasons right there. And there's many other great reasons why we can't take the subject away from something God said and make an object of a verb of it. You can't do it. And see, in the Greek it says, ta mysterion du ta, mega estin. That means this mystery is great. What? Okay, you ask yourself a question. Okay, what mystery is great? This mystery is talking about because a man will leave the father and mother and will be joined to the wife and the two. Okay, now, and then Paul says this mystery is great. But he's not talking about a relationship between a husband and a wife. The Holy Spirit says that I speak as Christ to the church. See? That's a marriage, a unity, again, of the Spirit, the church and Christ. He's just giving you a mystery there. But then he finishes. Now, this is about husband and wife, the very next verse. Nevertheless, also you, one by one, so let each his own wife love as himself, and the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, that's about husband and wife, but not the previous verses. It's like a figure, a metaphor more or less, or I've got to find the name of the figure of speech here for these six verses. But it's a relationship of Christ and the church. It's a perfect relationship. And it already is. And it has been since before the foundations of the world. That's why it's called this mystery is great. Like Paul, when he uses the word grace. Grace and peace be unto you, and all that. But there's a few scriptures. I can't lead you to them now, but because I don't know where they're at. This is something I'm throwing in for dessert. You have to look it up. Paul calls it great grace. Mega grace. I want to find out what mega grace is. I mean, and I'm going to find out now that I mentioned it. And I'm sorry I can't give the script. That just came up to me because of this mystery is great. It's not talking about husband and wife here, folks. It's talking about a relationship. It tells you right here about Christ and the church. But then the Holy Spirit gives Paul some more glory. And Paul says, beloved, nevertheless, one by one, let each one of you love his own wife. And wife, see that you respect your husband. Both are very difficult to do in certain situations. I know. You know. But in the church, when you come together in prayer, it is very, very possible. And it is impossible to break that marriage. Impossible. And I'm not talking about this mystery that he talks about. It's great. That's really impossible to break. You can't break it. It cannot be broken by anybody, not even the devil who has all that power. Not even the devil who makes you doubt everything you say. Not even the devil who has so many ploys and darts and everything. But we've got the power of faith and the shield of faith and plenty of armor in Jesus Christ to thwart those darts that come. And they come in droves sometimes, one after the other. Bam, 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 bam. Yes, sir, they do. I can tell you some stories that make me cry. But I try to be strong and not cry, and I'll go to the Lord. And I, like Paul, will bend my knees to the Father. Thank you, Lord. I raise my hands to you. Not only bend my knees, and I say, I love you, Lord, because you've delivered me from this mess. Praise God. And given me eternal life and made me white and clean, holy and blameless. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The other day when we were having a company for my children and grandchildren, my daughter, this is just so small, but it was so great for me. It was great. It was gigantic to me. My daughter from Oregon went and lost her glasses. She put them away somewhere and couldn't find them. She was going nuts. She had all of us, me, Mom, and my other daughter, and two other grandchildren, looking for those glasses. We must have looked for half a day, every one of us. We looked every nook and cranny. And I think Kathy says, why don't we pray about it? Hey, why don't we pray about it? It's just glasses, but let's pray about it. Okay. So nobody was praying. So I says, Alexis, you pray, honey. That's my oldest granddaughter. Me? Yeah, you pray. What do I say, Grandpa? Well, just first thank the Lord for finding the glasses. Thank you, Lord, for finding the glasses. Finding the glasses? Yeah, finding the glasses. And what else? Just say thank you. And thank you, Lord, for finding the glasses. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. And my other daughter was there, the one who lost the glasses. She says, hey, here's my glasses. There, she put them inside in the box, way in the corner of the bottom, and she found the glasses. See, Lexi? When you pray, God answers just like that. She says, you're right, Grandpa, you're right. You're just dancing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It was amazing. It was amazing to me. I mean, not the finding of glasses is such a small thing, but God answers just a small, even the tiniest request. And sometimes he does it like right now. And let me tell you something. Your prayers are already answered. Your prayers have been answered. If you've made a reasonable request to God, he says, make your request. Let your request be known unto God. Now, I don't mean, hey, Lord, help me make a hole in one. Boom. No. Silly. No. Pray according to the way Paul prays, according to the post-tax revelation. Pray according to the superabounding attitude, along the lines of the superabounding that the Lord promises you here. He is faithful, and He has already answered that prayer. It says so. It's proven in the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, in His point of view, has everything already perfected, age after age after age. You pray about that. Pray for wisdom. God will give you wisdom. I don't mean will give you wisdom. He has given you wisdom. You pray about, just like the glasses. Thank you for the wisdom, Lord. Thank you for answering my prayers. Knowing more of you, knowing more about post-tax revelation. I gave you the places where post-tax revelation is revealed in the book of Ephesians up to this point. And how much time do I have now?
Four
minutes? I can cover the rest of Ephesians. And I'm just going to give you the chapter and verse. I left off the unity of the Spirit, unity of the faith, unity of the body. And then we discussed this mystery is great, and that's the mystery between God and the church, and the husband and the wife. And we'll go to 6:15 now. It's called the Gospel of Peace. The post-tax revelation is called the Gospel of Peace, or the Good News of Peace, or the Message of Truth of Peace. See? And then 6:19, Mystery of the Gospel. It could be mystery of the good news. There's more than one intrinsic meaning of the word of the translation. So it's a mystery of the gospel, the good news, or truth too. Okay, now here comes one that you'll love. It's post-tax revelation. Yeah, you've heard where. Pray for a door of utterance. You've heard that. You've read that. Pray for a door of utterance. That utterance, if you get a better translation than utterance, you'd scratch utterance out of there and you would put it's the discourse or message of the word. Pray for a discourse like we speakers are doing this weekend, pray where God is answering prayer. I pray for giving a discourse of the Word of God. And this Word is the post-tax revelation. I prayed for it. I pray for, if I'm wrong, I'd like to be corrected. And it causes me to study from what I heard from Ronnie at his talk. And I respect that. I respect it very much. Why? Because he did it in love. Love answers many, many prayers. Love does. And we can't just put on love. You pray for it in your own closet. Brethren, beloved of God. Get in that prayer closet and find those glasses. Yeah. In other words, ask the Lord. See if He won't answer. And one last one, and I don't think it's last, I don't think I got them all here. 6:22 is the things concerning us. The things concerning us. 6:22. Paul was inquiring. I think one of the crew members, let's say Syntychus, telling him that I was praying about the things concerning you and this message that God gave me to deliver to you. And you, Paul, you're a Paul.
You're Paul. You're Paul. Because the Lord told you to mimic Paul. Yeah. So we have to love the post-tax revelation. The last message, there's not going to be another one like it. This is it. This is the last hurrah. This is it. It's a wonderful message. It's a true message. It's written. And those are the words Satan doesn't like. It is written. And he can't hurt you. Nobody can hurt you. Not if you're shielded by the shield of faith and the rest of the armor of God. Hang on to that armor. I know you love that armor. Every piece of armor in chapter 6 of Ephesians speaks of Jesus Christ. Yeah. He's your shield. He's your faith. He's everything to us. He's your head. What a wonderful head. What a wonderful master. He's full of knowledge. Nobody knows more than him. And I hope he gives you more wisdom, gives me more wisdom, and gives me the courage to witness, to evangelize this message, that they may all realize that you must hear it and acknowledge it before God can make it valid. Pray that he gives us an ear to hear. An ear to hear what he has to say in the post-tax revelation. Thanks, folks. Love you. Thank you.